You are the survivors. I congratulate you. My sincere gratitude to all of you for being with us this evening. In the mid-1980s, Radha Gopinath Temple had first yatra to Vrindavan. I think there was about 20 devotees. It was quite easy to manage. But devotees liked it so much. Coming to the holy place of pilgrimage, Sri Vrindavan Dham, when we go to the holy places, we develop faith. Because what we read about, what we hear about, we can very much see it, we could touch it, we could feel it. Not only in a spiritual context, but in a historical context. Also, when we go to these holy places and open our hearts, we can receive the blessings of all the great saintly persons who have performed their worship there. When someone like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or Rupa Goswami or Sanatana Goswami or Suradas or Chandra Sarovar, Bilva Mangala Thakur at Brahmakund, Raghunath Das Goswami at Radhakund, these devotees who performed their bhajan there, they permanently installed their love and their blessings. And according to how we open our hearts as beggars for mercy, for grace in these holy places, we can become very deeply affected by their divine grace. Rupa Goswami writes, one of the items of devotional service, one of the most prominent of the items, is to reside in Vrindavan. And we see, just at the foot of Sri Giriraj Govardhan Hill, throughout the ages, millions of people have come here. And with stones, they build a little house. And in doing so, they're actually offering their hearts that this is my home. Krishna, this is my intention to make my residence here at Govardhan Hill. And Krishna accepts the sincerity of that offering. To reside in Vrindavan means to keep one's heart in Vrindavan. More practically, it means to keep Vrindavan in our heart. You can be physically in Vrindavan. But if you're thinking of making money here, or you're watching television here, or gossiping here, or thinking of so many things in so many other places, physically you're here. But our consciousness is the substance of our identity. But anywhere we may be in the world, if we keep Vrindavan in our heart, we are in Vrindavan. Krishna never takes a step out of Vrindavan. If we are sincerely remembering Krishna in a spirit of devotion and service, then our heart becomes Vrindavan. Bhavadvita Bhagavata Sthirta Bhuta Swayam Vibhu. That wherever a holy person is, wherever a lover of Krishna is, all the holy places are present in the heart of that devotee. And therefore that devotee is a place of pilgrimage, because he is carrying Vrindavan. In my own life, Sri Vrindavan Dham is what transformed my heart. I was wandering around the world seeking spiritual answers, longing, yearning, and praying for a spiritual path to be revealed to me through Europe and the Middle East, the Himalayas, the plains of India, many holy places. And I found so many great people and so many very, very extraordinary places. But I couldn't fix my mind on a particular path. Then, by the inconceivable arrangement of the Lord, I was in Vrindavan. I remember praying to Lord Shiva, Kashi Vishwanath, please show me my path. Then getting on a train, crowded train, and getting off at some strange station at 5 o'clock in the morning, just to breathe and drink some water. The train was so crowded I couldn't get back on. I was stranded. Mathura on the day of Janmashtami. And I planned to leave after 3 days. On the third day I had typhoid. Typhoid fever. Doctor said, you have to stay at least 1 month or you will die. So I stayed a month. By the end of the month, just wandering through the forests of Vrindavan, meeting the cows and the peacocks, seeing the river Yamuna. But most of all, seeing the devotion of the people, I decided I never want to leave this place as long as I live. So I was for some time living in an ashram. Then I was living on the bank of the Yamuna. And about 6 months passed, and Srila Prabhupada came with about, I think, 30 devotees. But I had become a devotee of Krishna simply by living in Vrindavan. And when I saw Srila Prabhupada's compassion, like no one else, he affected my life. And I simply wanted to assist him in his compassionate mission. Devotees wanted me to leave. Prabhupada left after a week. There was no ISKCON and no ISKCON devotees. They all left, but I stayed because I said I never want to leave Vrindavan. But then my visa ended and I had to leave Vrindavan. And I remember for years I had a secret meditation. For a half hour every day, sometimes more, sometimes less, I would hide somewhere and just close my eyes and remember different holy places in Vrindavan. Radharaman, Gopeshwar Mahadev, different deities I would go to every day, different places. And I had a little cloth patch, a little cloth pouch full of dust of Vrindavan that I collected the day before I left. And in my meditation, I would just open it a little and smell it. I would just go, when you'd open it, you would just go, and I would smell that dust and then just meditate. And I would just do a parikrama. Here is Kaliyagat, here is Barasana, here is Nandagaon, here is Govindakund, here is Radhakund, here is... And I'd just be going all around for... I would do a mental parikrama and mental darshan every day. Without fail, because I was afraid if I missed a day that those images would not be clear in my mind again. And I didn't know if I'd ever be allowed to physically go back to Vrindavan. So for me, it was a very, very essential sacred principle to keep those pictures. Because in those days, there were no pictures of Vrindavan. Not a single one that I ever saw. And pictures on the wall are not the same as pictures that you engrave in your heart. But I was really concerned if I missed a day, the clarity of that darshan may start to fade. And the yearning, the longing to be in Vrindavan was to be in Vrindavan. Perhaps more than I'm in Vrindavan even right now. Service and separation is something very deep and very real. So we come to these holy places for many reasons. One is this: to really engrave these sacred spiritual places within the core of our hearts and worship them there. And yearn and long to be there. Not just physically, but consciously. And Lord Chaitanya and the six Goswamis, they made Vrindavan so extra special. Because when we go to these holy places, we meditate on how they lived there, what they did there. Not only the pastimes of Krishna that are there, but how great devotees access those pastimes while living there. And by remembering them, we develop an eagerness and a longing to follow in their footsteps. Because factually, that is only by following in the footsteps of the great realized souls can we enter into the real spirit of pure devotion, into the land of Vrindavan. Lord Chaitanya, he called his devotees every year to remain with him in Jagannath Puri. Most of his devotees were grihasthas. They had occupations, they had families, they had the same types of responsibilities that all the householders in Bombay and Pune and London have. Perhaps, and certainly not so complicated, but the same basic responsibilities of maintaining a family. But they made it a priority to go to Puri, in that holy place, which Lord Chaitanya revealed to be none different than Vrindavan. And they would remain there for 4 months. That's quite a priority. And they had nothing else to do except fix their mind on Krishna. This is another special blessing where we can gain great treasures through these yatras. Is we come and we have nothing else to do except serve the Vaishnavas, chant the holy names, hear about Krishna, and fix our mind on Krishna. Everything else is waiting wherever we may be from. It is an intensive experience of Sravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam. And that is, if it is done with eagerness and sincerity, it gives us a tremendous spiritual boost. It gives us an experience so sweet and so deep that the rest of the year we yearn for that again. Another blessing of these yatras is the type of association that is available. Of course, we always have our free will to what extent we're going to actually access and reciprocate with what God gives us. But usually in our lives, We're so busy with our family matters, with our occupational matters, or as brahmacharis, just with a little small group of people. That there's not that much opportunity to really develop loving, intimate friendships focused on helping each other to remember Krishna. But we have seen and we have heard from devotees how hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of very deep, intimate spiritual relationships, lifelong relationships, are established during these yatras. Even with people from other cities and other countries. And friendship with devotees is very important. When we read about the lives of the great saints, the intimacy of the love that they shared with each other, how much they were there for each other, to care for each other, to protect each other, it is profound. Some people who are more what they think philosophically inclined think that these relationships and caring, they call it touchy feeling, sentimental. If that's the case, then every single one of the greatest acharyas in our whole sampradaya and all other Vaishnava sampradayas are sentimental and touchy feely and everything else, because that's what the philosophy is for. Amongst the great souls, what was the relation between Rupa and Sanatana? What was the relation between Raghunath Das and Krishnadas Kaviraj? What was the relations between Bhugarbha Goswami and Lokanath Goswami? Between Srinivasacharya and Narottam Das Thakur and Shyamananda Prabhu? Between Bhaktivinoda Thakur and his inner circle of very, very deep friendships. And Srila Prabhupada, he had very, very deep, profound friendships with many of his godbrothers and other devotees here in Vrindavan. It's necessary. If you can't develop loving relationships with those who love Krishna, you cannot develop a loving relationship with Krishna. And many devotees fall away from the spiritual path or suffer even while on the spiritual path. Because when they're in times of need, they find no one they could really trust. That's a lonely situation. We have to learn to be someone that other people can trust. And to develop relationships with people that we could trust in Krishna consciousness. It's a very foundational principle in the path of bhakti. And these yatras are opportunities to develop that, because we have a lot of time and energy for these relationships. To come together, to hear, to chant. To reveal our minds. Essentially, these yatras focus on the most essential items that we need for our spiritual lives. And if we take the opportunity and really do focus and cultivate those, they will give us strength. They will give us a higher taste. They will give us a yearning and a longing. They will give us relationships that will be a tremendous asset throughout the year to help us to progress in the path of bhakti. Some people say charging batteries. Yes? It's like that. But we should understand what, we should be more specific about what it means to charge our battery. And the austerities that some of us have endured during these yatras are very, very good for us. Because human life is meant for austerity. A yatra is really not a yatra without tapasya. Yes, if you just come to Vrindavan and stay in a five-star hotel, did all of you see that banner on the parikrama about the golf course they're building at Govardhana? I'm not going to make any commentary on that. But I can't imagine what Raghunath Das Goswami is thinking about a golf course at Govardhan Hill. Anyways, coming on yatra is not about living in a plush place and playing golf. Coming on a yatra means some tapasya. It's good for us. Breathing in some nice dust and coughing. Trying to give myself solace, actually. And some simple living conditions. It's not for long. And crowded and sometimes waiting for prasad. It's really nice. You know, masters of homes when they're at home. Wife, why my prasad is late? But here at the yatra, you have to stand in line behind them. It's pretty good for you. It helps us to take a humble position. Austerities, actually, if we have the proper attitude toward austerities, they make us humble. They make us serious about crying out for Krishna. Some devotees, at the beginning, 20 devotees. And this year there was, from what I was told, approximately 4,000 devotees when we were in Vrindavan. And it became, I think, about 400-500 people less in Govardhan. But sometimes devotees say, the yatras were so nice in the old days when there was just a few of us. And some even say that I'm not going to come on the yatra because it's too crowded. Have you heard that? Huh? Govinda says that? That's why he's the group leader. That's if you're a group leader, it's not crowded. You always get to be in the front. But there's a certain beauty and charm in whatever Krishna arranges. You know, the devotees in the Yatra committee, they try to really try to keep things under control. For devotees from India, they have to be chanting at least 16 rounds. They have to be following four regulative principles. They have to have a counselor. They have to be in good standing. They have to be in good behavior for several years and everything. Otherwise, you're not allowed to come in the yatra. Govinda says you're not even allowed to have a mustache. Not even the ladies. Very strict, very strict. Govinda doesn't know about ladies' mustaches. Anyways, and certain dress codes. And still, 4,000 people. That means these devotees are all very eager. They're very serious. They really want to be here. They really want spiritual advancement. It's not a holiday. Everyone who's come on these yatras, they really seriously want to make spiritual advancement. And to be in the association and to receive the energy of so many people who are so eager and so serious, it's a great blessing. It's like diving in an ocean of nectar. Let there be 100,000. It's just a beautiful opportunity to hear and to chant the glories of the Lord with so many devotees. And the energy of bhakti is very powerful. When many, many devotees are praying sincerely at the same time, everyone is benefiting tremendously. When many devotees are chanting their japa or doing kirtan or sincerely hearing Hari Katha, it's very purifying for all of us individually and collectively. So whether they're small yatras or large yatras, each have their own unique beauty and their own unique benefits. But what is all important is that when we come to the Holy Land, when we come before God, akinchana gocharam, if we want to access what is available, that kripa, that bhava, that prema, we have to have a humble disposition to really want it. Queen Kunti prayed, if someone is proud of their beauty or of their wealth or of their fame or of their education or of their strength, that pride, it's like a wall. It's like a wall that obstructs the flow of grace into our hearts. Akinchana gochara means we must approach like beggars, like hungry people who really feel a need. If you're hungry and you're needy, it makes you humble. and you're willing to beg. Not beg in a mundane way, but prayer is a form of begging. You can't pray effectively unless you are in a really humble state of mind. We read the prayers of all the great devotees in Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, the songs of the great acharyas. They all have something in common. They totally humble themselves before making their prayer. Prahlad just calls himself a demon. They all are humbling themselves. Bhakti is the process. You can be wealthy, you can be beautiful, you can be famous, you can be educated, but akinchana gochara means you're not proud of these things. You're grateful. You're grateful for what God has given you, but you don't claim it to be your own. And you're humbled that God is giving me these things. And if He hasn't given you anything, you're humbled that He hasn't given you anything. But this humble state of mind is very, very necessary to access grace. And if we have that yearning, and if we offer those prayers, prayers for pure devotional service, we will be eternally benefited. We come to Vrindavan to pray for love. Pray for the blessing to love Krishna, to love Krishna's devotees, to love every living being as an instrument of Krishna's love. That's why we come here. That's why we chant the holy names. That's why we hear Hari Katha. That's why we serve the devotees. To express our prayer of longing to love Krishna unconditionally, to love His devotees, and to be an instrument of Krishna's love toward every living being. So tonight we are officially bringing a close to our 2008 Vrindavan Kartik Yatra. My humble request is feel yourselves blessed, infinitely blessed, and infinitely fortunate. You have all been given immense wealth, immense spiritual potency, immense spiritual blessings. It is yours. You have been given the blessings to overcome all obstacles. You have been given the blessings of Sri Sri Radha Shyam Sundar, Krishna Balaram, Gaur Nitai. You've been given the blessings of all the holy places of their pastimes in Vrindavan, including Shri Giriraj and Radha Kund. You have been given blessings of all of the great acharyas that are eternally performing their bhajan here. You have been given the blessings of all the assembled devotees. You have been given the blessings of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. He's the one that called you all here. He worked so hard to build that Krishna Balaram temple so that His devotees could come here every year. Prabhupada made that a standard, that devotees come to Mayapur and Vrindavan as far as possible every year to receive these blessings, to receive, to access this spiritual power. And He has blessed you. So please recognize and appreciate and be grateful for what you have received in this yatra. And cultivate it. And be instruments. Instruments of the grace that gave it to you. When we ask Prabhupada, "You have given us so much, what can we do to pay you back?" Srila Prabhupada said, "All I want you to do is just receive it and share it with others." So yes, as you're leaving back to wherever you're going, be grateful, whether you feel it or not. Whether you know it or not, you have been infinitely blessed during your period here. According to Puranas, anyone who once does Govardhan Parikrama will never take birth in this material world again. That's a nice blessing. How many of you did Govardhan Parikrama? Hare Krishna. That means you don't have to take birth again in this material world. You've been given something that can liberate you. But you have the free will whether you're going to live by that. Such blessings. So feel yourself humbled. Feel yourself fortunate. And the way for all these blessings to go deep down into your heart so that you actually realize it and reap the benefits of it is when you're really grateful and you show your gratitude by reciprocating with Guru, the Acharyas, and Krishna, who have given you those blessings. By sincerely, earnestly, and honestly living by their instructions. And trying to spread the prime benediction for all humanity, the chanting of the holy names. I do not have a list of all the people to thank. But I thank them anyway. Many devotees worked hard for many months to make this yatra possible. Krishna likes us to surrender. Now, Vrindavan is Chintamani Dham, and the trees are Kalpavrikshas. Could just go under a tree and say, "Krishna, make a pandal, and Krishna, make prasad for 4,000 people, and Krishna, transport everyone to Nandagaon." Krishna can do it. But then what are you going to do? Krishna likes to see us surrender. And what a wonderful surrender. I'm afraid to say any name because then I'll miss other names. But, you know, there has been a yatra committee of devotees who for months and months have been coming. They had to find all these guest houses and book all the rooms and make all the negotiations and the arrangements months in advance for all of you. All you had to do was sign a form. Yes, you sign a form with your choice. But these devotees had to go and from dharamshala to dharamshala to guest house and try to negotiate. And how many different guest houses in Vrindavan? Over 100 guest houses in Vrindavan. And Govardhan, probably about the same. Hare Krishna. That's not easy. And then arranging the buses. And then arranging for the bhoga and arranging for the pandal and arranging for making the altar and making the and bringing the deities, Nartaki Devi's beautiful Radhasham Sundar deities and Gopal Gardens, Gornitai deities and Prabhupada deity. And then making those kitchens. How many of you went back and saw the kitchens? Incredible kitchens. They brought all the pots from Bombay and Pune and Belgaum and trucks. Yes? Huge pots. And then they actually, you know, Fogla Ashram, they actually paid to make a whole cement area for washing the big pots. Then they dug these big trenches where you can put large trunks of wood and light it on fire and blazing fires and whole rows of pots on this big trench in the ground that's blazing with fire and different kinds of cookers. And they're back there cooking in primitive conditions for 4,000 people, three times a day. Most of the cooks did not go on any parikrama. And because the classes were at night, most of them could come to the class. But other than that, they were just cooking, cooking, cooking. Tremendous sacrifice.
What is this?
This is too sophisticated for a simple person like me, this young guy. To speak of publishing this book. Anyways, there was months and months of very, very hard work. Overcoming obstacle after obstacle after obstacle to make this yatra possible. And what was the only motivation for all that work? To serve the Vaishnavas. To give every single devotee the most spiritual experience possible. To be with each other in Vrindavan. So all those managers who organized and all those devotees who were purchasing and cooking and everything else, let us thank them from our heart of hearts by loudly chanting Hari Bol.
Yeah.
another wonderful thing about this yatra is all the work that was done before the yatra and during the yatra, not a single person was paid a single paisa. 100% everything was done voluntary. Lot of anxieties. But those are anxieties that bring the heart ecstasy. Like Yashoda in anxiety for Krishna. The anxiety of love. It's a beautiful thing. So please, with all the blessings that you have received, be grateful. Be happy. Be united and reciprocate by fulfilling Srila Prabhupada's his prayer that we become lovers of Krishna and that we help to make others lovers of Krishna. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Shri Vrindavan dham ki jai, Gopremanandi.